They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The U.S. economy last year grew faster than it has since 1984. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Gross domestic product growth reached a speed of 6.9% per year during the last 3 months of 2021. And if you look at the year as a whole, the economy grew 5.7%. That is the fastest rate of growth the U.S. economy has seen in nearly 40 years. And it was significant, even taking into account the fact that we are coming off of an economic damage in 2020. We've got Diane Swonk, chief economist with tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, here to talk about it. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So it's more than just we are growing as if a pandemic never happened. We're growing even faster than that. What do you take from this number?
Exactly. We exceeded the pre-pandemic level back earlier in the year. And what we're seeing now is that we're growing beyond that. Of course, it's not evenly spread. We did have a catch-up in spending on services. We also saw some big replenishment of inventories. That's welcome news, but wasn't enough to alleviate many of the shortages we see out there and the upward pressure on prices. That's why we also ended 2021 with the hottest inflation we had seen since the early 1980s.
So with that in mind, what should we expect in terms of this economy this year?
The Federal Reserve has now come to view variants as more inflationary than disinflationary because of the disruptions they do to supply chains and the shortages that they induce in the economy. And in 2022 overall, even though growth will slow dramatically from what we saw, it still will be well above anything we saw in the decade leading up to the pandemic.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is going after the fees banks charge customers. Overdraft fees for checking accounts, closing costs on mortgages, they are excessive, the agency says. Marketplace's Nova Sapphos here with more. Good morning.
Good morning, Sabri.
So I just mentioned overdraft fees and closing costs for mortgages. What are some of the other fees that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is targeting?
Yeah, there's a whole host of them. So take credit cards. They're looking at late payment fees. The Bureau says that nearly every bank charges about $30 in late payment fees. And in 2019, they added up to $14 billion. So a real chunk of change. Also, so-called convenience fees for payment transfers, fees to get images of cash checks, fees to pay bills online. I know I've paid those. And overdraft fees are a big one. The Bureau says banks collected more than $15 billion worth in 2019.
Well, it sounds, though, like some banks are getting out ahead of this. Bank of America, I think, just said it was cutting overdraft fees a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. JPMorgan Chase and Capital One have also announced changes to overdraft fees. But the Bureau says it's not enough, that especially because low and moderate income people are most likely to pay these fees and get hit by them. And meanwhile, the Consumer Bankers Association, which represents the banks, counters that the industry is already well regulated and that overdraft fees, which the Bureau singled out, really only make up just 2% of overall bank revenues.
So what happens next? What's the Bureau doing next about this?
Well, right now, it's seeking public comment. They want to hear from consumers about their experiences, and that's through email or regular snail mail or through the website regulations.gov. Eventually, there are likely to be new rules issued, and this is all connected to the president's executive order last year. Remember that one, directing agencies to spur more competition? Well, we're seeing the CFPB scrutinizing banks now. Other agencies are tackling other areas of the economy.
All right, Marketplace's Nova Sappho. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The SAT will go paperless starting in 2024, we learned this week. But could college admissions tests become a thing of the past altogether? More than 1,800 schools across the country have paused or eliminated the requirement. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has more.
Even though many schools are waiving standardized test requirements right now, they're still a factor in deciding many merit awards and other scholarships. So Mark Cole enrolled his 16-year-old daughter in weekly SAT prep courses to help her get ready. She goes to school in Baltimore.
If it were completely optional and it had no impact on her admissions or scholarship implications, I would take this off of the plate.
Still, Cole says knowing that his daughter has tutors helping her is reassuring.
I feel a lot less anxious about her preparation because I've gotten this service for her.
That service, though, is one that he and a lot of other parents across the country pay for. Anywhere from $25 for a book to thousands of dollars for one-on-one tutoring. The test prep industry includes hundreds of companies and nonprofits and businesses geared toward helping students score high, like the Princeton Review.
We're a global company.
That's Rob Franek, editor-in-chief with the Princeton Review. He says the number of students who signed up for test prep help actually went up during the pandemic. He says it's because COVID took away so many of the other opportunities that allowed students to shine on college applications, like clubs and sports.
It's that idea of being able to differentiate yourself in a time of great change.
Still, colleges and universities these days are putting more weight on other parts of a student application, says Jamie Moynihan with the admissions consulting company Accept You.
Testing has become a fraction of what it was in the evaluative process within the admission process.
The College Board, which puts out the SAT, says going digital may make the test accessible for more students. And if more colleges do go test optional, Priscilla Rodriguez with the College Board says she's not worried.
Test scores can only help. If it's a good reflection of your strengths and your knowledge, submit it.
And if not, she says, leave it out. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.